The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
He has been adjusted very well.
Misa takes a big hit from Seneca. Here come the Ducks. The Kyle Granlund, and they score. John Carlson on the one-timer, and the Ducks with a 2-0 lead.
I don't know. I mean, probably from puck drop. It's not good enough. This time of the year, we can't be outwilled or outworked, and it's unacceptable. It doesn't matter if it's a back-to-back. You saw last night, the other team wanted it more, and same thing tonight. So we have to learn from it, and I think we got to look inwards here a little bit. You know, we're changing the standard. It's not okay to lose. It's not okay to lose battles and lose PKs and, you know, just shifts on end. You know, we gotta change things. And it's just not good enough tonight.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? It is Friday, April 10th, and the San Jose Sharks now find themselves in losers of two straight. They have 81 points on the season with four games remaining. They are now in fifth place in the wild card. They are 1 point back of Winnipeg. They are 3 points back of Nashville. And they are now 4 points back of the final wild card spot occupied by LA. And they are 9 points back of the first place wild card spot occupied by Utah. If we look at the Pacific, they are 8 points back of Anaheim, 8 points back of Vegas, and they are 9 points back of Edmonton. So I would say it is fair to classify the situation as dire now for San Jose. They have not been eliminated, but they need to win out and get some luck on their side. They can max out with 89 points this year, and I know that that is still a great, great season by all accounts compared to what they were able to do in years past. But boy, does it feel like a missed opportunity for these San Jose Sharks, considering what they were capable of going into these final few weeks and where they are right now. But that's very much indicative of where this team is and where they are not right now. And I don't want to go back and, you know, go over every single game where they've had a missed opportunity, but I think it's worth noting that, you know, you go back to the recent big, big games for this San Jose Sharks team. You go back to March 17th. That was the Tuesday nighter against Edmonton, what we considered at that point the biggest game of the year. That was a 5-3 loss where San Jose just didn't start out very well, didn't really show up in that game the way that you would have otherwise hoped they would have been able to. Then you go to the 24th game against Nashville. That was a game where San Jose was slow to show up, and they didn't play the game that you hoped they'd be able to play, and they lose that one by a final of 6-3. And then you come, you know, to the 4th of April, last Saturday. That's a game where, again, at that point, it's the biggest point of the year. They don't show up. They lose 6-3 to Nashville. They get the win over Chicago. They eke that out, but then they get hammered pretty well by Edmonton, 5-2. And then they have this 6-1 loss to Anaheim. And, you know, the writing is very much on the wall for San Jose. And I think it's worth remembering that when we talked about this season, we were like, well, we'd like to see them do what the Ducks did a year ago. And the Ducks last year were 35, 37, and 10 with 80 points. So San Jose has already surpassed that. San Jose has had a much better year than that. They've got more wins than that already. They've got more points than that already. If you look at last year, San Jose was 20, 50, and 12. 52 points. And they ended the year on a double-digit losing streak. So I think they have, you know, obviously shown they are a much, much better team than where they were a year ago, 2 years ago, but they are quote unquote not there yet. So, you know, we look at where this year is wrapping up, and that landed Anaheim last year, 80 points, sixth in the wild card. and they were 16 points back of the final wild card spot with that record. So, you know, the San Jose Sharks are in a relatively similar situation as Anaheim was a year ago. It's just that the standings this year, as we look at where things are, they're allowed to keep their life in this chase a little bit longer because parity has defined the Western Conference. But, you know, right now, because Winnipeg has won three in a row, they've been able to leapfrog San Jose. Nashville, obviously, what they've been able to do in recent memory has allowed them to fight their way back up the standings. You know, it's the reality of things, guys. I mean, it's San Jose being ahead of schedule, but still not good enough to where they need to be in the playoffs. And yes, they could win out and catch some breaks. That's still very much a possibility. But I do think it's important to note that the Sharks have taken huge steps this year, but you have to see them for what they are. A team that's not quite 500 or is going to hover around that point that doesn't have the ability to win the big games, to show up on demand, to compete with the best teams or the hottest teams in the NHL right now. And that's due to the fact that when you look at, you know, their top line, you've got Colin Graf, Macklin Celebrini, and Will Smith. That's youth, correct? That is young, young players. And then you look at Michael Misa, and you look at Igor Chernyshov, and you look at Sam Dickinson, you look at William Eklund, you look at Yaroslav Askarov, you go down the list. So many of the key contributors on this team are young players. I know that Barclay Goodrow is out there. I know that Kiefer Sherwood, Alex Wenberg, you have more established veterans out there. Tyler Toffoli is another. I'm not trying to take anything away from those guys, but the onus is not on them to the same extent to be the difference makers for the franchise. That's on Michael Misa. That's on Yaroslav Askarov. That's on Will Smith. That's on Macklin Celebrini. That's on Colin Graf. That's on Igor Chernyshov. It's eventually going to be on Quentin Musty. It's eventually going to be on other players that are still in the pipeline for San Jose. And so when you watch the Sharks not show up in the game last night, I don't use that in the pejorative to be like, oh, they didn't show up, they didn't have it. It was like, no, they are not a team that can just on demand have that type of a performance they need in these big games. And I don't think that I'm saying anything relatively controversial there because I just cited the recent memory of the games where they didn't show up where they needed to. And again, I'm not using the show up term as like, oh, they don't have it. It's just the reality. They are not there yet. And I think it's important to frame that when we look at where the team is overall. I think they will get there. I have no doubt about that. It's just a reality acknowledgement of where this team is and is not. And I think that it's fun to have these aspirations and these hopes, and that's the whole point. And the fact that the Sharks have been able to take us to April 10th and still have their names in the playoff conversation. And again, it's going to be there until they are eliminated. And I think that's a great, great story. They're only 4 points out of the final wild card spot right now. And if the breaks go their way, who knows what happens. But if you had given the option to every Sharks fan that you could have a team that's in contention for a playoff spot on April 10th but doesn't make it, they would all have taken that back in October. Not a single person would have been like, oh, yeah, I've got a big problem with that. No, everybody would have been more than happy in it with that. They would have been like, yeah, that's the season for me, thank you. That's what I'd like to have happen. And everyone has been very, very pleased with this season. But the later you stay in that playoff race, the more that the idea of disappointment and or expectation starts to come into the mix. And so the team now finds themselves in a point where I'm sure there is a lot of disappointment in that dressing room after last night's game. And on the plane ride home as they get ready for their home finale of the year against Vancouver. But I would contend that that's probably the best for this team going forward. They need to feel that disappointment. They need to feel the anger that comes from knowing that they're not there yet. Because those are the chips on the shoulder. Those are the motivating factors. Those are the individual things that will inspire a team to be better the next year. They are going to go into training camp knowing that they didn't give themselves as good of a shot as they needed to get into the playoffs. They've given themselves more of a shot than anyone could have asked for compared to what we thought they would be at the start of the year. I don't deny that in the slightest. But I think they need to have that fuel for the fire, that motivation to know that they had the big games, multiple games against Edmonton, multiple games against Nashville, games against the Ducks, right, where they just didn't have everything they needed. And then they'll probably look back at losses they had against teams like Calgary, against St. Louis, right, where they said, well, at the time we were the much better team, the other team was floundering, we should have been able to take those wins. Those are the motivating things that San Jose needs to take out of this year. And beyond that, I mean, we can get to the realistic parts of this, that Yaroslav Askarov needs to be better. And I don't have a problem saying that in the sense that he is capable of great, great things. He has the ability to be one of the best netminders in the NHL. but the consistency is not there as of yet. He has not shown the consistent ability to be a game-changing goalie. He has the skill set. I don't deny that in the slightest, but in his first full year in the NHL, you know, there's a book out on him now, and he needs to be able to adjust to that, and he needs to correct some of his mistakes. That's what this year is for. I think by being ahead of schedule, everyone started thinking, oh, this year is for the Sharks to contend and make it. No one had that in their minds at the start of the year. This year was about taking a big step forward, and in that sense, it is a massive, massive accomplishment. San Jose has taken a huge step forward. They are ahead of where they wanted to be. I think 30 wins was more of what people had as an idea, which was a 50% improvement over the year prior. This is massive, guys. This is a team that has made a huge leap forward, far beyond what anyone's expectation was, but then the expectation changed the longer they stayed in contention. So Yaroslav Askarov, in his full first season in the NHL, he's got learning to do. Will Smith, he needs to invite more physicality. He needs to get stronger. He needs to get bigger. Shakir Mukhamudulin, he needs to get bigger and stronger as well. He's got a big frame. It takes time to fill that out, but you know, the offseason, if he goes in healthy compared to last year, it needs to be the weight room, steak and potatoes, getting bigger, getting stronger, learning how to use that frame. Michael Mesa, I think we're still at a point where we are assessing his game. I don't think there's any question about that, but I think that Michael Mesa is still looking at this and learning in real time, and he's had a great learning experience in year number one, and I think he's going to be dynamite in year number two, but he's probably going to be better with the puck. He's probably going to be better at protecting the puck next year. He's going to learn how to use his physicality that much more. Sam Dickinson, I think that next year they need to take the reins off of him a little bit more to maximize his offensive game, but at the same time, he needs to figure out how he's going to best use his body as well and cut down on some of the mental mistakes. And these are all part of the learning aspects of being better in the NHL. William Eklund, he's got a little bit more experience than these guys that I'm talking about. He needs to improve upon his finishing. You know, that would be my number one critique of him. Macklin Celebrini, there's not a lot that you can critique in his game. I think he's gotten better at picking his spots on when he is going to take risk. And we go back to the Olympics and, you know, you look at the way that it was cutting down on risk from game number one to the rest of the tournament. I think Macklin Celebrini, with not having quite the same support cast as Team Canada, has to take risks at points, but I think he's learning how to do so. I think he's learning what his teammates around him are all capable of. You know, I think for Colin Graf, it's continuing to maximize his offensive upside. I think for Igor Chernyshov, again, very much like Michael Mesa, this is a learning season where now they can take more into this next offseason and get ready for the year ahead. And everyone should be very, very excited, even if there is relative disappointment right now that it looks like the Sharks need an incredible four-game win streak at the end of the year to take this, and they would need a lot of teams to start losing in front of them. That's okay. It's okay to be disappointed. It's okay to have a season that goes down this way. It's okay to fall out of contention here in the last few games. These are things that no one had on their bingo card. And because this team overachieved in the sense that they stayed in it longer than anyone expected, you have to look at things a little bit differently. But I think it gives you that much hope for the future. You know, Kiefer Sherwood's going to hit the ground running with the team next year. And there's always going to be injuries. There is always going to be changes, the unexpected. But I think right now, going into the offseason, Mike Greer has a great assessment of what his players are, what his players will be. There's more coming down the pipeline from young players. I think next year we'll get, you know, looks at guys like Bisted and Quentin Musty more so. But that's the whole point. You know, you've been able to bring up these young players. You've been able to see what these veteran players are able to contribute to the situation. And you have more of an idea of what you're truly building here in San Jose. And hopefully next year will be the year that they are not on April 10th on the outside looking in. But it's not easy, guys. It's not easy at all. You look at what's happened to Detroit. You know, Detroit, they are sitting right now 3 points back in the final wild card. They are 3-6-1 in their last 10. And it shows you how hard it is to pull out of a rebuild. And last year, you know, they finished with 86 points. And everybody said, oh, this year, this is Detroit. They're finally going to get back in it. Well, you know, Detroit, they have been better than where they were a year ago. They've got more points, but they're still on the outside looking in. It's hard to take that next step. Getting from the middling point to the contending point, that's the hard point. And I just mean that, you know, contending by getting into the playoffs. True contention, that's still a way out. But the one thing that Detroit doesn't have is Macklin Celebrini. Macklin Celebrini is a franchise-changing, defining player that everyone is going to look at and think to themselves, yep, this is the guy who is a difference maker that helps you get from one step to the next. Now, even a great player like Jack Eichel with the Buffalo Sabres, you know, that was still not a situation where it could change. And I would contend that Jack Eichel, as great a player as he is not quite the dynamic force on the ice that Macklin Celebrini is. And I don't say that to take anything away from him. Macklin Celebrini is rare. Macklin Celebrini is unique. He is one of one. You know, I think it's a short list of players that are better than him in the NHL. Probably McKinnon, McDavid, and I don't know how far that you go on beyond that because of the completeness at Macklin Celebrini's game, especially combined with how young he is. I mean, these are all part of the narrative for Macklin Celebrini and the San Jose Sharks. That is why the rebuild has been thrust forward. That is why we are ahead of schedule. Macklin Celebrini has been having an incredible season, one of the best ever for a 19-year-old, one of the best ever for a second-year player in the NHL. He has forced the issue, and he's only going to get better. And I don't know if he'll always have the same points. That's entirely different because the San Jose Sharks will have more weapons around them. He will not have the same pressure on his shoulders going forward, ostensibly, because there will be greater play around him from other young players like Michael Misa, Sam Dickinson, Will Smith, Will Eklund, Igor Chernyshov. You know, you go down the list of all these players that are very young and very capable, it's only going to get better, assuming that this is a relatively linear path for San Jose in terms of the upward trajectory. Yes, guys will have up and down seasons, but the overall body of talent in San Jose is increasing. That will allow Macklin Celebrini probably to not have so much of the onus on his shoulders, but will probably allow him to be that much more lethal, and it will allow him to be that much more impactful, and it'll allow the San Jose Sharks to be that much more of a balanced, dangerous, and effective team. That is the goal. It's never just one player. It's everybody out there on the ice, and that is the direction in which San Jose is trending. So, you know, I know you're thinking to yourself, well, gee, Ted, you haven't said a whole lot about this game. It's like, well, What do you want, guys? They lost pretty convincingly last night. I don't know what there is to talk about. They were not able to show up on time for this game. They're down, you know, 2-0 after the first, 3-0 after the second, and they were able to score a goal finally after falling down 4-0. Shakir Mukhmudulin assisted by Tyler Toffoli. Then John Carlson gets his hat trick, and then you see Vetrano add another one that makes it 6-1. Not a great night for San Jose. Not many San Jose highlights to speak of. I can give you a Shakir Mukhmudulin highlight. Would you like that, Shaq? Shaq, fifth goal of the year, why not?
But according to my calculations, there are only four teams in the NHL this season that have not recorded a shutout. San Jose is one of them. Winnipeg is another. Philadelphia is a third, and Anaheim is a fourth. Right now, Anaheim has a 4-0 lead, and there's 7:39 to go, and the Sharks need to get something going to end any discussion of that.
Yeah, let's jinx it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it more and more so that they get one.
Now you know how I'm thinking.
I like it.
Moving in, Anaheim has a chance now. Terry shoots it, knocked away. Coming back the other way, Toffoli bulls his way to the puck. He moves into the zone. He's got Eklund with him. He turns away, drops it back for a breaking Mukhmudulin. He scores! Shakir Mukhmudulin breaks the shutout.
We talked about it and it worked.
7:20 to play in the third period, and now it's 4-1.
Oh, fired up Jamal Mayers. You love it. You love to see the San Jose Sharks have a little bit of life late. And I appreciate that. They didn't just roll over. The game was very much in hand for Anaheim at that point, but San Jose still found a way to get onto the board. I do appreciate the effort, even if it was too little, too late. Still, it's a learning process. They're going through it right now, guys. They're not out of it yet. Not out of it yet. I will still wait till they are officially eliminated before I give up hope, but I am also not so naive as to ignore the writing on the wall. All right, let's get into some of this post-game reaction. Let's get some more from Kiefer Sherwood, as he has established himself very quickly in the Sharks dressing room as having a mindset and a viewpoint that matters. His perspective is always welcome, and he's well thought out in how he talks about the game and what he sees out there on the ice.
Where do you think it got away from?
I don't know. I mean, probably from puck drop. It's not good enough. This time of the year, we can't be outwilled or outworked, and it's unacceptable. It doesn't matter if it's a back-to-back. You saw last night, the other team wanted it more, and same thing tonight. So we have to learn from it, and I think we got to look inwards here a little bit. You know, we're changing the standard. It's not okay to lose. It's not okay to lose battles and lose PKs and, you know, just shifts on end. You know, we gotta change things, and it's just not good enough tonight.
Why has there been this maybe lack of energy these last two nights?
I don't know. There's no excuses at this time of year. Excuses doesn't do good for anyone. So we need results and not excuses. And there's no reason that we come out flat tonight. It's unacceptable.
There's been times when you guys have wobbled and you fought back each time. So how do you fight back now as you look to Saturday?
We're not going to stop believing. We're not going to stop working. Take it one game at a time and control what we can. But we have to have a desperation and urgency when that puck is dropped and raise our standard here. We can't accept anything less than the standard that we expect from ourselves. So,
How frustrating was it on Anaheim's part? They blocked a lot of shots tonight. And so how difficult did they make it for you to find shooting lanes?
Yeah, it's part of one aspect. They probably wanted it more than us, right? They blocked a lot of shots. We don't get ours through. And, you know, they're able to transition and, you know, tilt the ice a little bit. So continue to work at it. But it's more than that. You know, we have to look ourselves in the mirror and push more, fight more for battles and compete. And it's between the years at this time of the year.
As much as you don't want this, is this just one of those hard lessons that you have to, I guess, live and learn?
I don't know. It's hard to live and learn at this time of the year, you know? So I don't know. Yeah.
There's a lot of pain in that voice, guys. I have become a big, big fan of Kiefer Sherwood. I always appreciated his efforts when he was on the opposition, but seeing how much it means to him in such a short amount of time, getting to know these guys, you know, in very short term, you know, he's been such a great addition to this Sharks squad, but you hear how much it means to him. And he knows that, you know, he's had a late surge in his career and he finds himself here in San Jose for the next couple of years, obviously, and it means a lot to him. I think that he was very, very excited to be in this opportunity after he was on a Vancouver team that was in the midst of a rebuild and suddenly found himself in a playoff chase in San Jose. And I cannot fault anything with his efforts and his abilities to help San Jose, but he's probably feeling like they're on the outside, you know, looking in, and he's probably thinking about what more he could have done. You can hear the frustration and the pain in his voice. And I appreciate it in the sense that, you know, he's given it all, but you also feel for the guy. You know, that's how you know how much it means to him, when you can hear the hurt in their voice. They don't want you to hear the hurt in their voice, but you hear it. You hear the stress. You hear the writing on the wall in his voice that San Jose needs a lot of breaks. Let's hear from another veteran whose perspective matters, Tyler Toffoli, who has essentially acted as the de facto captain for San Jose, even if he has not been labeled as such. I think that for him, he's trying to not be as heavy with it and trying to be a little bit more bounce back-ish, but he's also very, very blunt.
Tyler, what's kind of happened here these last two nights?
Yeah, it were, you know, tough games. Obviously couldn't get a whole lot going both nights, and when you're trailing games or you're behind, it's tough to come back in this time of the year.
You figured they were probably going to be a desperate club, and they were kind of showing it. Did you feel like you guys weren't matching it, or was the hit scratching at times? Or
yeah, I mean, I think we gave them a lot of opportunities, and they capitalized. We didn't do a good enough job in the ozone to create opportunities for ourselves to turn the momentum at all. And like I said, when you're chasing the game, that's kind of what happens.
Before the Edmonton game, you know, you guys were kind of in control of your own destiny. Just how disappointing is it these last two games to kind of lose that control, and now you have to watch the scoreboard?
I mean, I feel like we knew that we had to win out regardless. So obviously we put ourselves in a tough spot, and all we can do is continue to play and try and win our games that are left.
You guys have wobbled, but each time you've wobbled, you've fought back. So how do you fight back now when you look to Saturday?
I mean, there's nothing you can do now. You just got to go out and play. I think
you know, it is what it is. We put ourselves in this position. You can look at it good or bad, and on Saturday we have to be ready to go.
Yeah, Tyler Toffoli, he is not giving up in the slightest. He's ready to keep on going and getting ready for Saturday when they face Vancouver in the home finale of the regular season. Here's head coach Ryan Warsawski.
Ryan, there's been times where you guys have wobbled and you've fought back each time. So how do you go about fighting back as you look to Saturday?
Yeah, we'll look at the film. We'll have our meetings. We'll go through the same process and keep fighting.
I would figure that tomorrow would be a day off. How do you go about your messaging?
Yeah, you know, we've got to find the right messaging, because obviously the messaging today wasn't good enough.
What's happened these last two nights?
Yeah, we really complicate the game, I would say, with some execution, with some the way you have to play the game this time of year especially. We make it difficult on ourselves. We really beat ourselves. That's no disrespect to the Anaheim Ducks. They completely outplayed us tonight, but we make it really easy for teams to play against us.
Did you feel the desperation level was there, or not as much?
Probably not as good as we like this time of year. They certainly had it.
Dimitri was saying that in a game like tonight, where maybe you guys don't have quite the energy, even last night too, that you've got to simplify. And is that message not sinking in yet?
Yeah, you know, that's something that's have to be worked on going forward. Not just this year, but even into next year. You know, looking ahead, back-to-backs aren't good enough, and we need to learn how to play in back-to-backs in tough situations. Every team goes through it. It's not an excuse. We got to get in better shape. You know, we got to have an understanding mentally how to approach games and play their game the right way.
How disappointing is it? You know, a couple nights ago, you were kind of you're in charge of your own destiny. Yeah. You know, and now you're not. Now you do have to scoreboard watch.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. We put ourselves in the situation. Not just these games. There's been other games where we probably find ways to get points and we don't. So it is what it is. That's the reality of it.
You had a few guys, Chernyshov, Gaudette, Klingberg. Were they all healthy scratches tonight? Going forward, what do we need to see number one on Saturday from this team?
Oh, man, there's a long list. So we'll dummy that list down. Obviously, the effort and execution is probably on the top of the list. Predictability, connectedness, things that we've really talked a lot about, the things that we do really well. We don't do them often enough, and that's what gets us in trouble. We go off script a little bit. We give pucks away. We rim pucks away. Puck possession. There's a lot on the long list.
Right. This is tonight. One of those things where maybe there's some evidence of how that next step in your evolution can often be the toughest.
Look, our team, the players in there, they're fighting. They know. They care. We're working. But for sure, there's a moment of right now how hard it is to play right now this time of year, how detailed you have to be, how competitive you have to be. And we probably fully haven't grasped that yet. So we're learning that right now, and we're getting punched in the face with it right now in this moment, probably last night as well. So let's see if we can, what do we have, four left, if we can try to learn from it and move forward and try to find that extra little gear and not wait until next March or April, whenever it is.
It's not just about one player, of course, but, you know, a guy like Sam Dickinson, young defenseman, obviously a tough spot there where he misses the one-timer and they go off on the other side. He's got to just feel awful. And just what is the messaging to a player like that after something like that happens?
Yeah, we'll work with them. We'll keep teaching, keep helping them. We'll look at it. You know, me going in there and screaming and yelling at him doesn't do any good. So, you know, he understands. He's a smart hockey player. He's a smart kid. He's going to have a long NHL career. We've got to help him through his challenges that he's going through. And you know, we saw just, you know, a week ago, he's played probably two of his most complete games in the National Hockey League. So we can't lose track of that. There's obviously some things he's got to clean up and get better at, just like any player and any young player. And we'll keep working with him.
I love how he is acknowledging the fact that, you know, yelling and screaming isn't going to do any good. They just need to improve the player. That is a very, very mature standpoint from a coach, because I'm sure there are times where they do want to yell and scream at players, but they know that is not going to lead to the best outcome. All right, well, we are just about out of time, so let us prepare you for Saturday. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock go time, the home finale, the San Jose Sharks taking on the Vancouver Canucks. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.